So Elena Kagan will eventually face confirmation hearings. A bunch of very know-it-all senators will be asking her all kinds of questions. Most of those senators will be lawyers. And it's really inseparable, the idea of the law and the law books, don't you think?
Yeah, they go hand. You have to have law books. You can't just do it by heart.
The original law book was stone tablets, right? Moses came down off the mountain with it, right?
You remember that?
Well, I was around. Sure, I was around. But the law is also a piece of pop culture in America. We know lawyers as though they're friends, right? So we can give them advice. As Elena Kagan prepares for her confirmation hearings, we are wondering, what should be required reading for a Supreme Court justice nominee? Something to position her as more human, or more legal, or more scholarly? We asked listeners for their ideas on the Takeaway Facebook page. Here are some suggestions. Betsy Jenny Bash says, The Grapes of Wrath shows what happens to good people when the environment goes to hell. And both David Macias and G.W. Wolf on our website would like for Elena Kagan to read Kurt Vonnegut Jr.'s Slaughterhouse-Five. Well, Patrick Henry Bass has been working on this for a couple of days now, books editor for Essence Magazine. He has some ideas of his own. A reading list for Elena Kagan. That's pretty cheeky, Patrick Henry Bass. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Lynn.
Morning.
Let's start with Peyton Place. It's just a joke, John.
I just wanted
to see if you were off.
Well, that would certainly teach her something, wouldn't it?
About Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Well, but lawyers are supposed to know a lot.
Absolutely.
And so we could presume that Elena Kagan has read the law books.
Yes.
But what other books do you think she should
Well, the first book I think that she should read and the other eight Supreme Court justices should read are the book The Eyes of Willie McGee by Alex Hurt, which involves a very little-known case back during World War II, which had international headlines. And this is about Willie McGee, who was executed in 1951 for the rape of a white woman, Willette Hawkins. Alex Hurd recreates that case. And what is fascinating about it is the number of people who were involved in the case, like Bella Abzug was an attorney for
yes,
him.
Yes, indeed.
Josephine Baker, William Faulkner.
Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein. Harry Truman in the Supreme Court turned his appeal down three times because they didn't want to get involved with Mississippi's states' rights issues.
And there was just a documentary on NPR, actually, about this case. Joe Richmond produced it. It was extraordinary.
Correct, with the traveling electric chair.
That's right.
So he was murdered in public. Now, there are...
Well, he was executed in public.
Executed in public. Now, a lot of people are alleging that Willie McGee didn't commit the rape against Willette Hawkins. Alex Hurt goes back and looks at this narrative and looks at the complications about race, about sexual relations between black men and white women at that time. And he uncovers some shocking truths about the Willie McGee case, but he also discovers that Willette Hawkins' life was completely ruined through this case. The white woman who accused him, totally ruined.
You know, sounds like a great book. It's obviously a great piece of history. But why this book for Elena Kagan?
It's really about states' rights. And if you look at what's happening with Arizona right now, I mean, the Supreme Court back in the late 40s and early 50s refused to intervene in this case because they were afraid of going against Mississippi. There were also political concerns at the time. So
the perils of states' rights.
Yeah, they kept kicking the case back to Mississippi because they didn't want to be involved.
I think Patrick's a little bit of an advocate here. I think he's trying to spin.
What was the president's word with the last nominee? Compassion, right?
That's right. Empathy. That's right. There we go.
And there was very little empathy for Willie McGee from the Supreme Court
there you
at
go.
That time.
All right. Book number two.
Book number two is The Blue Orchard. Now, The Eyes of Willie McGee is based, it's nonfiction, but it reads like a historical novel. The Blue Orchard is fiction, but it's based in fact. It's the story of Jackson Taylor's grandmother, Verna Crone, who grew up in abject poverty in Virginia and Pennsylvania areas, who was a nurse and an abortionist, who worked with Dr. Charles Cranford, who was an actual African-American mm-hmm. doctor. They were both arrested and tried for committing abortions in 1955. So if you look at this, if you look at The Blue Orchard, you will never see a more revealing backstory about what it was like to live in the shadow of Roe v. Wade. All of the events that led up to Roe v. Wade are there. Verna Crone had an abortion when she was 13 years old. She grew up in an Irish family, 13 children, had very little money, and she considered performing abortions with Dr. Charles Cranford a medical act. So a medical procedure.
So here it would be the history of reproductive rights in America. This would be a great background on that.
It's a total backstory to Roe v. Wade in a way that Roe v. Wade has become simplified now. Mm-hmm. It's like many people forget what life was like for women pre-Roe v. Wade.
And there is so much focus in the questioning about Roe v. Wade.
Why am I thinking that somebody... There are people that might have a whole different list for the nominee than yours, Patrick.
And you can actually call us with your suggestions at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. Book number three.
Book number three is Earth. That's E-A-A-R-T-H.
It's McKibben's book.
Bill McKibben's book. Now, this is a horror story, really. I mean, this is it makes Cormac McCarthy's The Road look like a cartoon. I mean, this is an actual view of
where
the Earth is headed in terms of climate change. And I mean, the fact is, the Supreme Court continues to decline hearing cases that involve federal regulation in terms of the environment.
So you think that anyone on the Supreme Court or going to the Supreme Court needs to be prepared for what you believe is a revolution in environmental law that the court will eventually have to deal with?
Okay, is Scalia going to drive a Prius? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure after this. After reading Earth, he's going to drive a Prius, or that Clarence Thomas is going to start doing more recycling of his conservative papers. But it's a compelling argument about where we are with planet Earth, and I think that they should move more towards hearing cases involving federal regulation and the environment. Just two words: oil spill, Gulf region
liability. All the
boy,
questions,
I have to say, I think maybe a physics 101 handbook might also, a textbook might also be something good to read. There's so much to understand about science in this world. And
a manual of blowout preventers.
Lena John, if all else fails, she could always go to Innocent, the sequel to Presumed Innocent by Scott Turow. If all else fails, if she doesn't want to read these three books, Innocent is in bookstores right now.
Reading.
A little lighter read. It's in bookstores now.
Are you a Turow fan?
I am a Turow fan. I had a chance to meet him last week.
That's great. Well, so. You know, it's not always the case that, you know, we would give a reading list to a Supreme Court nominee. But in this case, you certainly have laid out issues that the court will definitely be dealing with. I suspect Elena Kagan might be studying up on some of her legal and constitutional law, though, wouldn't you?
And I like to think of myself as a benevolent dictator. This is a great gift, the reading list. In her leisure time.
Oh, I'm sure she thanks you very much for it, by the way.
No, who knows? We might actually hear from her. Who knows?
Well, Patrick? We would like to hear from her.
Indeed, or anyone.
Indeed. I'm sorry, you were going to say goodbye to Patrick?
No, Patrick Henry Bass, books editor for Essence Magazine. Thanks for the list.
And we want the rest of you to keep the conversation going. We want to make a takeaway listener reading list. We'll post it to our website. Here's how you can add your own book. Join our Facebook fan page. That's at Facebook.com/TheTakeaway, or find us on Twitter at @the_takeaway.
And there's a new way, texting. You can text the word take to 69866, and we'll tell you where to go from there. That's take to 69866, and standard message and data rates may apply, which is another way of saying the money does not go directly to Patrick Henry Bass. I'm John Hockenberry.
Or to us. I'm Lynn Scherer in for Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.
Could only be The Takeaway.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.